This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Tuesday, October 24th, 2006. Now, I just finished recording a Skype conversation with Chef Mark, and you're going to get to hear that. But what I didn't realize is that I had the audio thing set to internal microphone. So the whole thing I was recording with the internal microphone of my iMac and not the microphone. So it's going to sound weird, but you can still hear me. Anyway, and I know some of you are probably getting tired of me talking with Chef Mark, but he's such a good conversationalist. I enjoy talking with him. So anyway, he's going away for 5 days, so you won't hear from him after this. So enjoy this conversation with Chef Mark.
Hello.
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you. I just told Michael that we were recording. We're going to record, and he was like, "Oh, I wish I could talk with you guys," but he's got a gaming thing going, so he can't. He can't.
A gay men thing?
No, a gaming. Oh, gotcha.
It's like his gay men's chorus, right?
Yeah, I don't know what
he should do. It. They should do a gay men's chorus of gay men, gaming chorus.
I don't. I have no idea. Yeah. So, how was your weekend?
Oh, good, good. I've been working a lot of work, but I'm getting ready to go on a last minute trip this week. So I got to sort of get a. I had to do recordings of like two recordings of my Remarkable Pal podcast, a couple of my Remarkably Mark, and then a bunch of other work to so that I would not be behind when I go away.
Yeah. So, well, now how will you be able to post those? You'll just log into Blogger and do it.
I'm going to post, I'll have them all, I have them all ready to go, so either if I'm able to log in, if not, I'll just call, I can call someone here and have them log in for me.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to tell you, on your last podcast with Rob Lindley, when you guys were getting your manicures and pedicures, I love that, but I wanted to tell you something, that when you were talking about the buzzing sound you were getting from the iRiver.
Yeah, it was really bad, wasn't it?
Well, actually, it wasn't that bad, but I recorded a show on Friday night that was on yesterday, on Monday, and I got the exact same buzzing when I was up close to my stereo, when I was talking about my stereo.
Yeah, for me, I think, I don't know, it has something to do with, I don't know, there was all that, you know, all that bubbling water going on and so much, I don't know what it was, because I've never experienced it before in such a way with that. But also, I remember part of it is this. Now I think that I had the mini disc recorder down on the bench, rather than holding it or rather than in my pocket.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that had something to do with it. The vibrations, you know, it's stuff that we can't feel or hear, but the machines get a weird frequency on it.
So. It must have, because when I listened to the show, I was like, "Oh, there's a little bit of a buzzing noise at the beginning where I was standing near the stereo." So I was.
And it goes in and out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was weird.
Yeah. But, so anyway, I just thought it would be fun to play that the stuff. I mean, it was a long. I mean, we were like there for like an hour and a half. So I mean, I had.
Oh, well,
to
you
really
did a good job of editing. Yeah.
And it's funny because Rob at the end is really. He said, "Oh, you're gonna have to edit that down to the 30 seconds that we were talking."
I heard him say that. Yeah. But now, was the total cost of that was $32? Is that with the tip?
I added a little bit for the tip. Yeah.
Yeah, you added $10 because you had it on there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was $42 for Manny's.
Yeah, the charge is $25, and then they added $6 for the buffing.
Yeah, I heard that.
And the tax, and the this is so gay. I can't believe we're sitting here talking about manicures. But man, I could tell you, right? I got so spoiled the first couple of days, and then I did a big dinner party thing, and now my hands are back to normal.
Well,
I mean, the nails look good, but the hands are all, you know, dry and cracked like they normally are.
That's too bad. Well, I was telling the boyfriend about it, and I said, they paid like $32, and he's like, for manicures and pedicures, isn't that a little expensive? I'm like, I have no idea. I've never been to one. So
it seemed cheap. I mean, $25, especially because if you consider like each one separately is like $15 or $20 or something like. I think he said like just the pedicure by itself was $20,
oh,
and
the
manicure
deal,
was
then.
Like $12 or something. So if you get both together, yeah, and they probably maybe go a little bit faster than if you just got one single procedure or something.
Yeah. Well, now you probably heard on yesterday's show that I showed the boyfriend the picture of, or maybe I told him about the picture of you and Rob Lindley standing next to each other in front of Macy's.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh my God, you look like a tiny little man next to him."
Well, he's tall. Shut up. It's not that I'm short. It's that he's tall.
How tall are you?
I am 5'8".
Okay. Well, I guessed 5'7". At one point, I said you were 5'2".
Yeah, thanks.
But you're 5'8", and you have.
And I have people teasing me on my blog on the comment section about,
I know,
my
about
teeny,
your
teensy feet.
Yeah, you're 7.5 men's.
Yeah, but let me tell you, I don't have any kind of issues with my size, and I'll just leave it at that.
I know there's no correlation to shoe size and the other size.
Yep, not at all.
So I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
With you. So you're packing.
Let me just say, this is where, I mean, it's total non sequitur, but right before you called, I was watching a Law & Order episode that I had TiVo'd, and it ended up being this story of, like, a Muslim and terrorism and all this, and, like, the real dramatic arc of the story had to do with this imam who had to choose whether he was going to testify against one of his one of the people from his mosque. And it was quite moving. Like, I found myself, like, almost crying at the end, because this man was, you know, he was like, you know, do I have to choose? Am I an American or a Muslim? And Jack McCoy says to him, well, you know, you have to decide whether there's a contradiction, you know, whether that is a contradiction. Yeah. And then at the end, of course, it turned out badly, and the guy's mosque got firebombed and everything. And it was just so sad. I thought, this poor guy, you know, but that's
sad.
Like, it's a good dramatization of something that really affects a lot of people. Sort
that's
of
so true.
Feeling like they have to choose between their allegiances. And you know, I think idealistically we'd like to think that we don't have to, but maybe the real world is a little more complex than that.
Yeah. I don't watch Law & Order, so I have no idea.
I've loved Law & Order for years. It's one of my favorite shows.
Hasn't it been on for like 26 years?
Yeah, right. 38,000 years. It's been on for, I think, 14 years, 15 years.
Oh my
it started
gosh.
In 91. Yeah,
wow.
It started in like 91. And it's just, you know, what's fun about it for me, you know, with all of the Law & Order shows is that every single episode there's at least two or three people that I know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because basically, you know, every New York actor has been on Law & Order at least once or twice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of television, I saw a thing today. I forget what I was watching, but it was talking about how the ratings have been spread out, or I should say the amount of viewers has been spread out among cable and pay TV and stuff like that, where a top show would be lucky to get like 20 million viewers. That's like really good.
Oh, okay.
Whereas in 1983, for the final episode of MASH, there was 105 million people watching it.
Wow.
Well, can you imagine? There were only
three networks back then, plus PBS. So,
right.
Yeah. Plus that was a big deal. I think even today, like a show of that caliber, if it was the final episode. I mean, like, maybe the better comparison would be like Seinfeld's last episode. I'm sure everyone watched that, too.
Yeah, but even that was only like 45 million then.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. I don't think. And the thing is that it was talking about how that was the record set for the most viewers of any one television show.
MASH?
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't like Dallas or anything, like the Who Shot JR thing?
No, not the 105 million people watching.
Wow. Do you remember that? The whole
Dallas, I do.
Who Shot JR thing? That was
actually fun. I was a junior in high school, and since we were juniors, JR, we had this contest to raise money for our class, Who Shot JR, and we...
So you shot one of your classmates?
No. No. We just had a contest people to guess, and because we were juniors, we could use the JR thing, you know.
Okay. Cool.
It was kind of fun.
And did you win? I think that was kind of lame, because no one really thought it was going to be her.
It was a...
The dark-haired bitch.
Yeah, Christine or something like that. Kristen.
I forget the names of the characters.
Yeah, I never guessed it was her either, so I was wrong.
So what did you guys do this weekend?
Well, we had a dinner party. You might remember us talking last week about having this dinner party.
Yes.
And remember we were talking about being gay and all that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that conversation?
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, and I was telling you, like, these people coming over, like, if you just brought it up, they might surprise you.
Well, it was very interesting because we did have a conversation, but it was the word gay was never spoken. It was because the woman who actually, this is another interesting thing. I didn't even make a mental note of this, but we had two couples over, one gay couple and one straight couple, and they're both interracial couples. That was, I totally forgot
right.
about that. But anyway,
okay.
the woman was just in casual conversation, was asking the boyfriend, she was like, so how long have you guys known each other? You know, and just starting to ask questions, you know, that we had never talked about, you know, that kind of stuff before.
Yeah.
And it, you know, totally came out that we had been together for 2 years, or, you know, almost 2 years and that kind of thing. And it was really good. So obviously they know that we're gay.
Well, yeah. And it's like I was saying, I mean, they must have known long before.
Yeah. Just, when they first met us, I'm sure.
Yeah. And, but see, I think that's kind of a cool thing that you can just be matter of fact about things and not have to say the word gay. Like you have to say, you know, we are homosexuals and we do this thing to each other at
night.
You know what I mean?
It's like... Yeah. Yeah, that was really cool. It was just a totally matter of fact conversation, and it was, you know, you never had to say the word gay.
Yeah.
So that was good. So anyway, we had this really nice dinner party.
What'd you have?
Well, what did I have, or what did the boyfriend make?
What was made? What was the menu? And then, of course, you tell me what the menu is, I'll tell you what you ate.
Right, okay. The boyfriend made homemade tomato soup. I mean, he literally got the tomatoes and from total scratch made tomato soup. That was the, I guess the first course.
And you were able to find good tomatoes at this time of year?
He went to Balducci's, which is are you familiar with Balducci's?
Oh, yeah, yeah, we have them. They started here in New York.
Yeah, so he went to Balducci's and got, they're actually Virginia grown, so they were from the southern part of the state where it was still warm enough to get them.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, so he made this homemade tomato soup, and then the second course was this cabbage, like a cabbage salad. It had shrimp in it, it had... he named all the stuff off. It's all kinds of, he did like this dressing that had like tangerine juice in it and, I mean, all kinds of stuff in it. And then he kind of...
It sounds very refreshing.
Well, I don't know. I didn't eat it, but...
Christmas of the cabbage. Well, of course you didn't. Christmas of the cabbage and, of course, the shrimp. That sounds like a very good kind of dish.
It was good. And the thing is, he, as the people were still talking out in the dining room, he was like sautéing this... cabbage stuff up in this dressing stuff on the stove in a big pan, so it was a warm cabbage thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so just barely wilted, maybe.
Right, exactly, just barely wilted. Because he literally had just chopped it, and then he threw it in there just to mix it up with the stuff and get it warm, so.
Yum.
So then we had roasted vegetables, like a cornbread dressing kind of side dish. Like a cornbread dressing, because it had all kinds of stuff in it. And then,
like chopped up corn, like cornbread that had already been made, and then he chopped it up and mixed it with other things into a dressing.
No, he actually mixed it all together and then cooked it.
And then baked it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he had that as a side, the roasted vegetables on the side, and then pork chop,
a pork loin.
Pork loin.
A roast.
Well, it was still on the bone. What's it called?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like a rib roast.
Yes, but it was a pork rib roast, I guess.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So it's exactly like a rack of lamb, but it's the loin of the pork.
The rib
of the pork.
Yes, exactly.
Yum.
So we had that.
They're very succulent when you leave them on the bone. People think that they're more difficult, and I guess they are in terms of like when you carve them up and everything, but they're so much more succulent. They retain so much moisture.
Were extremely juicy. They were good.
Yeah.
Well, he was having a hard time cutting them, so he called me in to do the cutting of, you know, because he had to cut it into six pieces, and I had to use my muscle to cut through the bone.
All right.
Yeah, so I got to actually help out. But anyway,
you're good at dealing with big bones, huh?
Oh, yes, I'm very good at dealing with big bones. I deal with them all the time.
Yeah, how
nice. Yeah. So anyway, then we had, he made a pumpkin pie for dessert.
Ah, lovely.
He made it from the canned pumpkin, though.
That's fine. Yeah. I mean, as long as it's good pumpkin. Was it the pumpkin pie mix, or was it fresh pumpkin that he added spices to? Canned pumpkin.
It was canned pumpkin that he added spices to.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
It was not a mix.
Because the mix, you know, the one that's pre-already mixed is just, there's something different. I mean, it's fine to have canned pumpkin when you can't get fresh, or you know, it can sometimes be a little soggy if you make it fresh. Like, you have to drain it. It takes a long time to drain. But as long as you can add your own spices, it makes it feel a little more fresher.
Yeah, he did.
A friend of mine was telling me about a recipe that she does, which is a pumpkin and pecan pie. It's like mixed. So it's like the bottom layer is pumpkin and the top layer is the pecan pie. So it looks like a pecan pie, and then you cut into it and there's this orange layer underneath.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought that would be really fabulous with like a shortbread crust, you know, like a sablé kind of crust that would just crumble when you bite into it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for that noise there, by the way. That's my printer. I'm printing up a bunch of stuff.
So I don't hear anything.
Oh, okay, well, then you didn't hear anything.
But then the straight couple brought a really nice, really rich chocolate cake that had kind of like a half pudding, half cake thing.
Mm.
I forget what it was called, but it was from a pastry shop. And it had strawberries dipped in milk chocolate on top.
Oh, that sounds yummy.
Yes. And, of course, we had a different wine for every course.
Okay. Well, I'm curious what wine you paired the shrimp slaw with.
That was with the Sauvignon Blanc. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, the Gewürztraminer. We had a Gewürztraminer.
Okay. I was thinking a Gewürz or a Riesling would go really well.
It was a Gewürztraminer. We had the Sauvignon Blanc with the soup.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the roast?
And the roast heat, we had a Nebbiola. Are you familiar with that? It's a Spanish.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it, but we had it before at a restaurant. And, of course, when he bought the bottle at the wine store, it was much cheaper than it was in the restaurant.
Well, yeah, that's the thing about restaurants. You know, they double the price, and that's where they really where they make a huge profit.
And it was really good. And then we had
Nebbiolo is a grape that's used in a lot of – it's an Italian grape native, and it's used in a lot of the – you know, the well-known Italian wines, but of course they use it all over the world now.
Right.
It's a really good blending grape.
Exactly, yeah. But we had it by itself. It was really good. And then for dessert, he had a dessert wine called Adieu from Grey Ghost. It's a late harvest Vidal grape that you make into the sweet dessert wine.
Oh, do they do it like an ice wine? Oh, I guess they can't where you are.
It's not an ice wine, no. It's supposed to be similar, but they don't call it that, you know.
Yeah. It's almost like they let the grapes go bad. They start to go bad, yeah.
Yes.
Like they're picking raisins instead of grapes.
Exactly, and that's why the whole late harvest.
Yeah, they're kind of somewhat, like they're really super sweet. There's so much sugar in them, and they're starting to, they lose their, they're not as liquidy, like there's not as much volume in them. So
right.
They're more intense. They have to use more grapes to make
exactly.
the same amount of wine.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds like a good bunch of pairings for that.
Yeah, so it was really good. And
the menu you talk about, it sounds like a nice transitional summer to fall menu, because the first two courses were very summery or late summery, and then you have this very fall-like main course, and then, of course, the dessert was incredibly fall-like. So.
Yes. And, of course, he has his house all decorated for fall. He went out yesterday and picked up, I should say Saturday, and picked real fall leaves. And since they were relatively fresh, they hadn't curled up yet. So he laid them out on the table and on the dining room table, on the coffee table where we had the appetizers and stuff. And it looked really festive in fall.
Oh, cool.
So
does he do that whole trick where you press it in the book and everything?
No, he didn't do that. No, because they were so fresh.
And then you can press them underneath. You can put like two layers of glass, and put the leaves in between, and then use that as a little serving platter.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
You can put cheeses on top.
Yeah.
And use that as a serving platter, and you can if you have. There's this really, really elegant, nice looking kind of gaffer tape that you can use to. It's really thin, and you can get it in different colors, and you can actually tape the edges together. And then you would just have like a little glass platter, and you can put cheeses on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
That's my little Martha Stewart moment of the day.
I have to see if I can replicate that. I have to listen to the podcast again to make sure I get it all.
Yeah. I was just writing, I'm putting together some press kits for the Gilded Fork, and one of the elements in our press kit is a holiday entertaining tips. We did a tip sheet to send out for that, and one of my tip sheets had to do with stuff like, you know, just junk like that. Like I said, tired of stuffy, staid place settings? Alternate two coordinated sets of dish patterns to add a touch of flair, or write guests' names on mini pumpkins instead of place cards.
Oh my gosh, that's cool.
One of those little fall kind of entertaining tips.
Yeah, and you know what? He went out and got a whole bunch of gourds. We could have used those gourds like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or, and you can also, with gourds, you can carve a little hole in them and then line the hole with, like, oftentimes when you have a candelabra, there's a little ring thing, like a metal ring that will catch the wax drippings,
right.
Where you can actually cut it to that size and then just shove that little metal ring into the gourd, and you know, and then you put a candle in it.
Oh yeah.
So like the gourd, as obviously you have to shave a little bit off the bottom to make it lay flat.
Right.
And then you do all that, and you can have these cool little pumpkin candle, pumpkin gourdy kind of candle holders.
Instead of Martha Stewart, you can be Mark Stewart.
I'd rather be Mark Tafoya. Yeah.
Although, maybe I'll call this show Mark Stewart.
Oh, no. Just don't put Mark in the title, because I think your listeners are going to start to unsubscribe. Like, he's on the show again.
Do you think they're getting sick of you?
I don't know. I'm worried that they are, because there have been comments on your board in the past about me when I get on my high horse.
On your soapbox, but we're not
on my
soapbox.
Yeah.
Excuse okay. me.
So they don't mind me when I'm not on my soapbox.
No, and I think you have great ideas for like this.
When
is
they get to hear about my little feetsies.
That's right. But I think this little episode is all these fall decorating tips and stuff. I think that's great.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sort of, you know, this is the time of the year where it's just really, there's so much to do, and that's on that side of it, and it's so much fun. And now that the weather is starting to get a little bit colder, it's you know, you tend to think, refocus and think about indoors and all that. So
right, and how much do we love fall?
Yeah, we just switched over to pecans as our indulgence for this month at Gilded Fork. So we just did some stuff about pecans on the site, so you can see the photos and our dossier, and we're starting to do some recipes. We just did a pecan shortbread that's dipped in tempered chocolate and then rolled in little crushed pecans.
So yummy. Yum yum.
There's a great picture of it that our pastry princess took.
Oh, I'll have to go to gildedfork.com, right?
Yeah.
Of course. Now, do you want to tell the listeners where you're going? Because aren't you doing, you're doing this for Gilded Fork, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going on a press trip leaving tomorrow for Rioja.
Tomorrow as in Wednesday?
As in Wednesday, yes. Okay. Tomorrow as in Wednesday, Archer.
Very
dear,
good.
Mr.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Time travel difficulty person.
So you're leaving Wednesday.
Today is Tuesday.
Okay, well,
I'm recording this last Monday.
I know, I'm
and
sorry.
And we'll hear it 3 Sundays from tomorrow.
Well, so here's the thing. If
you should be on Heroes with your time travel.
So seriously. But okay, so here's the thing. If people are getting sick of hearing you, you're going to be gone for 5 days. You won't be on the show for at least 5 days.
I guess that's true, yeah.
So this is our last, you know, time before you leave.
Yeah, except that I'll be here for 2 more days in real
but
life.
But I won't record with you anymore.
Oh, we love the time travel.
Love it.
So I'm going to Rioja in the north of Spain on a little press trip sponsored by the Wines of Rioja. So we're
God, that just reminds me. Remember you asked me if the boyfriend had any questions about Rioja wines or whatever?
Yeah.
No, I can't remember the question. He did have a question.
Oh, he did have some stuff. Okay.
Yes.
Well, you'll remember and you'll email it to me.
Yeah, because I'll ask him.
I'll be sure to ask it, because I'm going to be doing lots of recording while I'm there. You know, that's the purpose of the trip, is to interview people and record, and I'm going to do some articles for the website.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, who's paying for this? The Rioja Wines?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, these press trips, you know, they're sponsored. They invite you, and they pay for everything.
Now, will they be, will you be going to the wineries and stuff?
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, we're going to be going from bodega to bodega and you know, interviewing the winemakers and doing tastings. And,
oh, my God, I'm so jealous.
It's going to be like what you guys do when you go to all
but
this,
in
you know,
Spain.
When you make a trip of all the wineries. Yeah, and Rioja is really... You know, it's long been considered the premier wine region within Spain, and there are many really wonderful wine regions. But of course, Rioja is the most established and successful wine region at this point. So they're kind of like Bordeaux or like the Napa, you know, or certain regions of Chile. You know, they're
right.
Just really, really well developed and producing a lot of great mature wines. So
well, now will they be giving you any wine to bring home?
I don't know. They might.
If they do,
I might buy some.
Okay, I was going to say, if they do, I'll give you our address, and you can send it to us, and we'll do a tasting of it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, definitely.
I was kidding. I'm teasing. You should drink
no,
the wine.
No, but why? Yeah, why not? You know, that would be cool.
That would be
cool. So I've got my leather-scented soy candle by Phoebes right here.
Oh, it's leather-scented?
So good. Yes, it's a leather one.
Oh, my
gosh. Yeah, he's starting to carry them now. And it's just it reminds me of, you know, when it's a crisp, clear fall day, and you reach into the back of your closet and you grab a vintage leather jacket that you haven't worn for a whole year, and
yeah,
you get that smell of that old, so well-conditioned leather.
You know, I have that smell in my mind right now.
Yeah, it's really strong. And then when you light the candle, it just permeates. So it's like you walk into the room and it just smells so good, so really satisfying.
You can light that when you have your leather sex buddies over.
Okay. Good idea. I didn't think of that.
Speaking of soy candles by thieves, going back to something in reality, has he posted or has he put up the holiday candles yet, the holiday scents?
Yes, and you can also get the holiday scents at the Gilded Fork Boutique. I'm such a pimp. I am such a pimp.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we have three different collections of soy candles by thieves.
I knew you had those, but I didn't realize they
were
holiday
scents. One of them is a holiday collection. It's a four-candle holiday collection.
Okay.
And then we've got a four-candle citrus collection, and then we've got a six-candle Gilded Fork collection, which is six of the scents of ingredients that we featured on the Gilded Fork. So
gotcha.
It's like lemongrass and sage and roasted vanilla and
ooh, yum. And
lavender, those kinds of flavors.
Of course, now I realize that the listeners are going to think this is one big advertisement for the Gilded
Fork.
I know,
and totally. That's why I was laughing, because I'm like, ugh, I'm such a pimp.
You are.
But it is the holiday season coming up, so
that's
you
right.
You may as well buy things that you know are good, because Mike Hip makes them.
Absolutely, and we've had them before, and the boyfriend wants to get some of those holiday ones. So.
And his candles, they last so long. They're great. And they just smell so good. They're not like, I don't know, so many of these, I see this huge push in the supermarkets with those Glade oil ones thing. I'm just like, this giant company, they're full of chemicals, they're really artificially smelly. You know, they stank is what they do. And it's like, there's so many chemicals in them that it almost makes you sick just sniffing it, you know?
You know, the biggest thing for me is Mike's candles do not put off soot where all these other candles do.
Yeah. And especially for people who have asthma or are sensitive breathing or anything like that.
Right.
That's just something to think about, you know.
Well, I just don't like it, like, settling on stuff. But anyway.
Yeah, like when the furniture gets all gooky.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. We should wrap this up because the advertisement's now over.
Oh, Lord. All right, is that the clock, the little clock? Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Tick. Tick, tick. I need to get one of those.
A countdown clock.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, listen, you have a great trip in Spain, okay?
Thank you.
And I expect to hear your reports on your show when you come back.
Oh, yeah. And also on my Remarkably Mark, I'm going to put out a show right before I leave, which is my little brother and I talking about Lost, because he's a total Lost freak.
Yeah, but now you said you had a concern about him listening to the show.
No, it's cool. Everything's cool.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, again, thank you for being on the show.
All right.
And boys and girls, don't worry. You won't hear him again for 5 days. But everybody loves
Or
Chef
maybe
Mark.
Longer if he dies on the trip.
Oh, don't even say that. That's terrible.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not like that.
All right.
I'm not superstitious like that.
Okay.
But in case I don't see you again, Archer, goodbye.
Love ya.
I love you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, boys and girls, that's all for today. Until next time, bye. Archer Radio.